We welcome you here today. Brandon, before I get started, would you just come and just share right quick, get the microphone. Tell us about our app that we have online that people can
Yeah. Amen. So we've had this app for a while, and Brandy has been able to get in here and update it and get it going. And I just want to, if it's going to keep you up to date with all our events. Let me see if I can get it up here. All right, there it is. I don't know, you probably may have a hard time seeing that, okay?
Yeah.
But it is really neat. It's got all our updated information on there. Get with me after church. I will show you exactly how to download that on your phone, okay? You can't just go straight to your app store and be able to download it. I can send you a link so you can be able to get it on your phone. But get that on. Get with me after church. I want to send you this link to get this on your phone so you can be completely updated with all the events coming up. Because we've got an awesome car show coming up. We've never done this before. We're super excited about that. We're going to be talking more and more about that, but that's going to come up in late September, September 25th, 28th. And so we're going to be talking more and more about that, but there's got a lot of information on that one. There's a lot of information about our Peru trip that's coming up. Very, very excited about that. Get with me at church. I want to get you that link so you can download this thing.
Is it Alvareda New Life Ministries, or is it New Life Ministries of Alvareda?
Our website is New Life Ministries of Alvareda.
How you pull it up.
That's how you pull up your website, but I'll be able to send you a link to be able to get your app.
Okay, yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah. Yes.
Hand me my water. Right there. Hallelujah. All right, don't forget Wednesday night. Going to be great. And Sister North, are you going to minister Wednesday night? All right, it's going to be awesome. So, going to be good. Sister Jean was with us last Wednesday night. Oh, my gosh, that was good. And so we're looking.
To get that on our website.
Okay, all right, very good, very good. All right, real quick, before I get into the Word, I come across two very funny stories, and I couldn't pass them up, so I'm going to share them with you. It's not going to break the spirit. It's okay. There's a wonderful presence of God in the house today, okay? But this was too funny to pass up. So let's see here. A mother had gone shopping and left dad in charge of their 2.5-year-old daughter. Someone had given her a little teacup set as a gift. Daddy was in the living room watching TV when his little girl brought him a cup of tea, of which was, of course, water. After several cups of tea and lots of praise for such yummy tea, Mommy came home. And so he told her about the father-daughter tea party, and with raised eyebrows, she said, "Did it ever occur to you that the only place you can reach to get water is the toilet?" Oh, my goodness. All right. All right. I got one more. The pastor's wife walked into the kitchen to find her husband stalking around with a fly swatter. "What are you doing?" she asked. "Hunting flies," he responded. "Oh, are you killing any?" she asked. "Yep, 3 males and 2 females," he replied. Well, intrigued, she asked, "Well, how could you tell these flies apart?" Well, he responded, "3 were on a monster drink can and 2 were on the phone." So, all right. Moving right along. How's that? Truer words were never spoken, I tell you. All right, Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. I do want to welcome all of you again today. Beautiful presence of the Lord. Thank you, praise team, for leading us into just the presence of God here today. I do believe the Lord is going to do something in us and through us and for us today. So, encourage you to open your hearts to hear the Word of God. How many know the Word of God is true? Amen. There's nothing bad that comes from the Word. It comforts us. It directs us. It guides us. It never condemns us. It does not shame us. Good things come from God's Word. I want Him to convict me. Conviction comes in His Word. And if I get off track, which is about every day, thankfully He shines His light and somehow gets my attention. Sometimes it takes a slap upside the head, but He does get my attention. But He loves me, and I know He loves you. So just see what the Lord has for you today. I encourage you to open your hearts to receive. Luke 24 and verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Title of my message this morning is simply Receiving the Promise from Above. Receiving the Promise from Above. So here is the setting for this passage. The Passover feast was over. Jesus has risen from the grave. And after appearing to many of His disciples for about 40 days after Passover and after the resurrection, He led a few of them out near Bethany to the Mount of Olives. And it's from the Mount of Olives, where His feet left the ground, that Jesus will return again one day to put His foot upon this earth once more. He left this earth as victor and conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. And He will return soon as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His power and His majesty will be so great that when the foot of the Creator touches the Mount of Olives that He created, the prophet Zechariah wrote that that mountain will split in two. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. And so just moments then before Jesus began to rise from the earth, He said something very important. He had something very important to say to the disciples that stood there. These would be the last words that Jesus would speak while on the earth. After calming the fears of the disciples and opening the Scriptures to their understanding, Jesus told the disciples the reason that He was crucified and the reason that He had suffered, bled, and died. He explained all of the Scriptures of the law and how that He had fulfilled it all for one single purpose, that men could be saved from sin. In Jesus' own words, recorded in Luke chapter 24 and 47, just two verses up from our text, here's what it says: "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So it was a wake-up call to the disciples and to the church that they had a work to do. They had a message to share, and it was time for them to get busy. But as important as that message was and still is today, I'd like us to take note that Jesus delayed their work for just a little while. First of all, Jesus came to earth and took on the form of flesh that men could see God's love in person, making that first step to bridging the gap between a holy God and sinful men, so that man then could believe on Him and be saved. But He stopped the church from spreading the word for just a little while. He was crucified, taking upon Him the weight of sin for the whole world, so that we would be victorious over sin through his blood. But he delayed the message of forgiveness of sin for just a little while. Jesus was buried and he lay in the grave, then resurrected on the third day, so that he could destroy the power of death, hell, and the grave, for the express purpose of giving you and me and all people eternal life, where we would never have to experience the horror of those things, the horror of hell. Yet he delayed the preaching of the gospel to anyone for just a little while. Why would Jesus then go through all of that only to tell his church to wait for a while before spreading the word and winning souls that Jesus knew were hanging in the balance? What was so important for us that would cause Jesus to stop the preaching of the gospel even for just a few days? There had to be some all-important business that was absolutely necessary before the church could accomplish its mission to spread the gospel. Again, in our text from Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, Jesus gave us the reason for the wait. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry," or wait, "ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Listen, before they could accomplish their mission, the church needed something else. Something that would bring them into a higher place in God, where they could do mighty works and greater works for the Lord Jesus and build His church. Now, when the Lord speaks of us doing greater works, there's no greater work than being raising somebody from the dead. But in that verse, that meant more even that Jesus did. For 10 days, they held a prayer vigil in the upper room in Jerusalem. They prayed for the promise of the Father to come as Jesus had said. They prayed and they waited. They watched and they wondered what that promise would be. How would they know when it came? They really didn't know. But they knew that it would come just as Jesus had said. So what did they do? They just kept praying and they kept waiting. Can you imagine with me for a moment what may have been going through their minds? Well, when will this promise come? What will it be like? What difference will the promise make in me? Will I feel any different? Act differently? Or talk differently? Can I really receive that promise? I want all that God has for me, but I don't know really what to expect. Well, here's the word of the Lord given to the prophet, recorded for us in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Listen to what it says. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your daughters and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." Listen, these things would come to pass after God's visitation upon Israel. So for 33 and a half years on the earth, Jesus was God among us. But now we see from Scripture, He has gone back to heaven. So what would that promise be like that would fulfill what Joel had said? For 10 long days they prayed for every one of those 120 that would gather in that upper room. There they would spend their time in prayer and waiting and tarrying before the Lord, desiring that the promise would come, but not knowing when it would come or what to even expect. They only knew that they wanted all that Jesus had promised. And they had to have God's best before they could spread the gospel, spread the good news. And so then on that 11th morning, the morning of the 50th day after the Passover, the promise came, and there was no doubt about it. Acts chapter 2 records the event, beginning with verse 1. It records it this way. Look at it with me if you have your Bibles or your iPhones. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there he was, the promise. He had come at last. At the time appointed and in the manner prescribed by God, the Holy Ghost came. Some Bible translation says the Holy Spirit. Well, what's the definition of a ghost? Well, it's the spirit of the departed one. Well, who was it that departed? It was Jesus. So those who were there that morning had stayed the course, and they knew the promise was theirs at last. As they all came together, anticipating and waiting and wondering and praying for the promise to come, their hearts and their minds were knitted together in prayer for one single purpose, and that was to see the promise come. No one was praying for anything else or for anyone else, only for the promise to come. They were not concerned about where to go for lunch or what to cook for dinner or for what business they had to take care of that day. Listen, they were in one mind, trying to find the mind of Christ and desiring only God's promise. They were in one accord, everybody agreeing together that they wanted the promise to come above all else. Look with me for a moment to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said these words, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Listen, if it only takes two of us agreeing together to see God move, we find here that there was 120 agreeing together. So it's no wonder the Holy Ghost fell in that upper room. So let me ask us this morning, what do you think could and would happen in the church at large today? Let's just say just right here in Alvareda, if folks could just get on the same page with the same mindset, all thinking and praying and believing for the very same thing at the same time. Now, I can't speak for any other church around, but as here for here at New Life, I want to see the Holy Ghost fall upon us in a new, unimaginable, astounding, amazing, astonishing, breathtaking way that is beyond the realm of reason. I desire to see miracles, signs, and wonders become as natural as breathing. And yes, we have all seen those things to a very small degree. And if you have been here with us then for any length of time, then you know we have sought the Lord and have expressed to each other and have sung about it. And that is to desire to feel the wind of the Spirit blow and see the fire of God fall on everyone that comes through these doors and see lives changed and see lives set free. And yes, again, we have seen it to a degree. And it can happen for you today. Many in here today are living testimonies of God's saving and healing and delivering power. You have received peace and you have received strength and comfort in your times of need. And we have talked about such a season where we would experience these very things. But I'm here to tell you so you can write it down. And I used to say you can take it to the bank, but I don't trust banks anymore because they do fall. And so I'm here to tell you, you can write it down. I do believe, me, myself, and I, we have entered into our season. And yes, I believe we are in what is called the end time, meaning we are closer now to the return of the Lord than we have ever been before. And I, for one, want to be ready whenever the Lord decides to return for His church. And you got to know He's coming again. But I believe, just as His Word says, He's coming back for a powerful, healthy, spotless bride called His church. It's not going to be a poor, weak, sick, and anemic bride. And I believe we have entered a time, and it is our season, where we can without any doubt expect unprecedented favor with man and with God. A season of time when the world's economy is failing before our eyes. We can stand in faith and assurance, knowing that as a child of the King, that He's going to take care of us who are His children, and His kingdom will not fail. Man's kingdom will fail, but not God's. You don't have to live a life of worry and fret and fear of the future. You don't have to worry about just surviving. You have to know that as a King's kid, we can thrive in the middle of chaos. And so if this is our season to receive, then let's expect that every time we gather together here or any other place, when we come into one accord, Sister Nora, and begin to worship God and boast in the Lord, guess what? He will show up and He will manifest His glory. How many know that we live in an instant gratification society, where folks want it right now? People don't have time to wait. There's too much to do, too many places to go, too many people to see, and we can't wait for 10 minutes, much less 10 days. Growing up, I remember seeing folks so blessed that they received the baptism in the Holy Ghost as soon as they repented and had asked Jesus to come into their heart and be Lord and Savior. While others then would come to the altar service, after service, seeking for the Holy Ghost. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? Why do you suppose that was? Well, here's something to consider. The time and manner in which the Holy Ghost will come depends upon several factors. Number one, there is God's timing that only He can determine. And that's why sometimes we do have to tarry. Number two, it's the condition of our heart and our willingness to receive Him. And Brother North had the right song. Every door has to be open to let Him come in. Because if it's shut off and you're not going to let Him in, He's not coming. How much do you really desire to have more of Jesus? Number three, it will take shutting out everything else but Jesus from your mind to get in one accord with God and getting everyone around you to believe with you for Him to come. Number four, yielding your will to the Holy Ghost or to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to speak through you and to baptize your heart and your soul with God's mighty power. So let's just talk a moment about the Holy Ghost. Most of the time, it's that yielding part that delays the baptism in the Holy Ghost from coming upon you or upon me. He can be all over you. He can be so close that you feel His presence and His power. We feel His presence and His power here this morning. He can be so close. But if you don't allow Him then to enter in and speak forth what He has to say, listen, He won't force His way into your heart. If you don't open that door, He's not going to open it. You got to open it yourself. If you don't want Him, don't worry, He won't come in. You have to open the door and let Him come in and then speak it out. And when you begin to speak out, guess what? It means just begin to praise Him and ask Him to fill you up with His Spirit. And here's what happens. The Holy Ghost will do the rest. All you have to do is, Lord, I'm hungry for more of You. Come into my heart. On the day of Pentecost, every one of those 120 received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. They gave an outward sign that He had baptized them. It was that they all spoke in another tongue or language that they had never known or learned before. The Holy Ghost spoke through them, speaking either to those who are around them, who stood around them from other nations, preaching to them in that language the wonderful works of God. And it's that same sign, and it's not done away with. Don't believe that lie. It's that same sign, speaking in an unknown tongue, which must accompany the baptism of the Holy Ghost today before we can really confess that we have Him. Now, hear me closely this morning. When you are saved through repentance, confession of Jesus as Lord, and surrendering your life to Him, you are given the Spirit of God at that time. Something happens. Amen. Listen, I was raised in a very legalistic organization. Let me just say it that way. Our eyes were open. My wife and I's eyes were open. We believed that you were not saved until you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you where our eye, and we believed it from a young age. It was taught, put in us. We went to Mexico, and the first time we ever went, and it was so awesome. We were down in the lower jungles of the Chiapas, right on the Guatemalan border, and we were at this little small crusade in this village, and the pastor there had invited a Methodist pastor and his little church choir. It was the little girls' choir. They all had a little uniform on, and so they got up on that stage and they sang their song, and the pastor led them in their song. It was the most sweetest, most beautiful little thing. And so after they were through, they went back down and sit down. The pastor stayed on the platform. The speaker that night gave the gospel message. And this young Methodist pastor walked up to the speaker, and he says, "I've pastored for, I don't know how many years it was, but I've never been saved." Can you imagine? We gathered around that young man, and Darlene and I stood there, and he led that young man, this young pastor, in the sinner's prayer. You could see a change from the top of his head all the way down. Darlene and I just looked at each other. We realized salvation had come to that young man. He wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost at that point. He didn't even speak in tongues. But we knew a transformation had taken place. When you surrender your life, you're given the Spirit of God. It comes in. You are washed clean, and you are saved, and you're given eternal life at that point. Peace takes over, and joy takes over where confusion and anger had dwelt. Yet, we're not to stop there. That's where this message, what this message is all about. You ought to desire to go on from that point. That's just the beginning of what God has in store for those that love Him. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, 44, and 45, we have the picture where that born-again Christian is at the moment of his rebirth by the Spirit of the Lord. Here's what it says. "And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man," that anger and that the world that's in him comes out. "When that unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places," talking about that spirit, "seeking rest and findeth none. And then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out," talking about that born again Christian. "He findeth it," and when he is come, "he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and they dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." So here we see this born-again Christian. He's accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. He's in a wonderful place. He's clean. He's new. He's fresh with a new beginning and a new life. How awesome is that? But he is also at his most vulnerable place. For now he has been cleaned and he's an empty vessel, ripe for Satan's attacks. That clean and that empty heart must be filled with all that Jesus can put in back into it. before the enemy can come back to try to reclaim what he has lost. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ has moved in and taken abode in that heart. You're saved and you're ready for heaven. Praise God. His blood has washed away all the sin and all the filth that filled this life before. But listen, something must take the place of what was washed away. What can we fill that emptiness with? Yes, we can fill it with more of Jesus. We can let God fill it with the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We can let God fill that heart with, watch this, His power, His mercy, His grace, and His love, until there is not any other place for the devil. And guess what? Satan cannot live where Jesus lives. Amen. I don't believe a true Christian can be possessed. Yes, he will come and do havoc on us trying to find a door to get in. But we have to do our best to keep every door closed, to not let the enemy come in. It's so important. Jesus knew that the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the power that He brings into your life was so important for you to keep the victory and have that anointing that you need to spread His word and preach the gospel to every creature. That He commanded the disciples to not make another move until they were endued with that power from on high and the coming of the Holy Ghost. That's where the power is, okay? Let me ask all of us this morning, shouldn't we follow then that example? It was only after the Holy Ghost fell that Peter was endued with such a power that he had never had before to preach the gospel. He was transformed, mind you, from a scared man hiding in the shadows behind closed doors to a man who was on fire for God, whose words carried an anointing and a power beyond anything that he had ever known. The spirit of the preacher had now come to Peter. He was doing the speaking, but the Holy Ghost was doing the preaching. His first message after receiving the Holy Ghost in that upper room brought many others to the place where they would receive him too. In fact, the Bible says that 3,000 people were saved in that one day. What an awesome crusade that was. All because of the anointing power of the Holy Ghost on a scared fisherman. Here's what the Holy Ghost preached through Peter that day from Acts chapter 2. It said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off." That means down through the generations to today. "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So hear me this morning. That's the message for all of us here today. If you've already received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, thank God for it. You already know what to do. We get in one mind and one accord, and we pray for those who haven't yet received that. That the free gift of the Holy Ghost will come in this morning with wind and fire to fill every one of us. And for those who have never received Him yet, the Holy Ghost is here right now. And He's just waiting for you to yield your tongue and your life to Him. If you haven't been saved or have never repented of your sin, today is the day to do that. There's not a better time than today to come and get right with God this morning and let Jesus come into your heart and then fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Listen, He wants to fill your heart and life with wind and fire and great power right now. Listen, for us as believers, the Spirit-filled life is one of being led by the Holy Spirit. You can start each day thanking Him for another day, first of all, that you actually woke up. To be able to serve Him, and then you can ask for wisdom and understanding to lead you that day. How many know we face all kind of stuff each and every day? We never know what's going to come our way. Listen, the Spirit-filled life for a believer is a life of being taught, being guided, being helped, being comforted. Yes, being corrected. If I get off track, I want Him to show me how to get back on track. It's a spirit of being convicted. He doesn't condemn us. His Spirit will never put shame or condemnation on you. But I want Him to convict me when I'm doing wrong. And it's a spirit of empowerment that comes upon us. That is why wine is such a fitting illustration of the Spirit. As natural wine, we know, exercises a controlling influence over a person's life. When we are filled then with the Spirit, our entire lives will be under His influence. Would you just stop a moment and tell your neighbor, I just want to warn you, I'm under the influence. All right, tell them this, watch out. I might shout any minute. I might dance. I might just run. I might start laughing and crying. Listen, it may be standing or kneeling here at this altar this morning. It might be just on your way home today. It might be, you have to be careful with that, though. Okay. Just know the Holy Spirit will lead you down. He'll lead you home, okay? It may be laying on your bed tonight or in the easy chair, Brother Gary, this afternoon. Or driving that school bus tomorrow. Oh, those kids won't know what to do. Something's different about Brother Gary today. Oh, my gosh. Holy Ghost is on him. You can receive the Holy Ghost anywhere and anytime. All you have to do is ask and receive. And if you've not received the Holy Ghost since you believed, then if you desire it, you can have it. All you need to do this morning is lift your hands and ask God to give it to you. And if you have received the Holy Ghost, but it's been a while since you've really felt Him moving in your life, and you haven't been experiencing that true freedom and that liberty of the Spirit, or even speaking in a heavenly language that He gives us as the Spirit gives us utterance, then you too can this morning lift up your hands and tell Him you want a fresh baptism. So my question is, as I end this morning, is this: will you yield to the Holy Ghost? There is nothing to be afraid of. Will you allow Him then to fill you up to overflowing? In fact, the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so I encourage you to not delay another moment or even one day longer. The Lord is waiting patiently, and the Holy Ghost is here to endue you with power from on high. Amen. Today is the day of salvation, and it's the day to be filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost. And when you allow Him then to do it for you, what He's ready and willing to do for you right now, we're going to take then the next, come on up, Sister North, and Brother Galen, come on up. As you're seated for just a few more minutes, we're going to take the next little bit, and we're just going to magnify the Lord, and we're going to bask just a few more minutes. If you can stay with us, we're going to bask in His Spirit. And as we are prepared to do so, all you have to do right where you're seated is tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm thirsty, and I'm ready to receive more of You, more of Him, that You desire His promise from above. Lord, just fill me up. Fill me up." Okay, come on up, y'all. They're gonna praise the Lord with this song. Hallelujah.
We are in Your
this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right where you're seated, would you just close your eyes? Just bow your heads. Not look around for just a moment. If you've never received the Lord as your Savior, and you'd like to do that today, I want to invite Him into your heart. Would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need the Lord. I want to make Him my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. He's here right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mighty God. Mighty God. If you've got away from Him, you've kind of grown cold in your spirit. You can say, Pastor, I've grown cold in my spirit and I want to get closer. I want Him right now. Listen, He'll do it right now, right where you're seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the power of your Spirit that you've offered to your bride. I thank you that you do come in. Open our hearts to you, that you'll come in and do a work in us. So I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. Would you just worship the Lord with a hand clap right now? Can I just encourage you to do something? When you leave from this house today, in your private time, time alone, can I just encourage you to tell the Lord, Lord, I want everything that you've got for me. My heart is open, I'm hungry, and I'm thirsty for more of you. Y'all, let's not be satisfied with just a little bit. Let's let Him fill us to overflowing in our spirit. Stay in the Word. Let His Word wash us. Listen, His Word will wash us clean. That's why it's so important. And one of the reasons for the baptism in the Holy Ghost, again, it's for that empowerment. You've got to know the enemy has not stopped working. And there is an enemy at is wanting to take every freedom that we have away from us. And they don't sleep, they work overtime. But I want you to know God has His plans. And those are good plans. And if we'll stay tuned into Him, listen, He'll show you how to go each day. You can get up knowing that today the Holy Spirit is leading me and guiding me. I have nothing to fear. Desire more from God. Desire in your spirit. Lord, I want to go to higher heights and I want to go to deeper depths. And I promise you, He'll do it. He'll fill you to overflowing. So, Father, I thank you today for your presence. I thank you for your power today. I thank you for your word today. Let it take root in our heart and not let the word be stolen out of our heart as we go from this house today. We praise you. Lord, I speak blessings upon your people. Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for those that you have brought to this house today. It's not a coincidence for those that were here today. So I thank you today. I speak blessings and abundance over the house, over every person. We thank you. We ask you to bring us back at the appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. God bless you. I'll be right here if you need prayer today, whatever you're needing. We'll pray with you. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name.